welcome and
Merry Christmas Eve
to another episode of Trash or Treasure. We're the podcast, we're Kim.
Correct, and Amy.
Oh my god, this is so much. I've been
bringing you spoiler-free recaps, reviews,
and recommendations for whatever we read. What did we read this week, Amy?
We read A Christmas Affair to Remember, a novella by Mia Vinci.
Yay!
So we've done a bunch of Mia Vinci novels. She has written a series called the Long Hope Abbey series, and this exists in the same world. So this is a novella that sort of follows up on the Cassandra and Joshua story in A Wicked Kind of Husband that we reviewed about a month ago.
Book two of the Long Hope Abbey series. So this is like book 2.5.
Yeah, but doesn't matter what.
It does seem to be set a little bit later, to be fair, because they already have some children. And it's set around Joshua DeWitt's brother, Isaac, and he seems to be quite established now in Manchester.
Yeah,
whereas
that's true.
At the end of their book,
he's not
established at all. Yeah. So this seems to be set several years later.
But you don't need to have read any of the other novels.
No.
It's not going to ruin
it
your
experience.
It
totally stands alone as a Christmas novella. Yeah.
So, brace yourself, people. I'm going to do the spoiler-free novella recap.
I feel like you're already halfway there.
So, main character in this novella is Isaac DeWitt. Isaac runs a investigative business. He's like a private investigator in Birmingham or Manchester.
Not relevant.
And he's at Christmas at his brother's and sister-in-law's house. Hooray. Sylvia Ray is also visiting. She's impoverished.
They're having
widow.
A Christmas party, like a house
party. Yeah, it's a house party for Christmas. Sylvia's there. She's a friend or an acquaintance of Mrs. DeWitt's mum, who's a herbalist, and Sylvia makes, you know, herbal potions and things like that as a way to get by because her husband, who was a charmer but a liar.
And a gambler.
Died, left her with nothing, and she's been just sort of trying to
make
her way in the world.
And he also trashed her good name.
Yeah, so his family hate her really publicly.
And even though he was well-to-do and she was a gentleman's wife, so she's not a baseborn or a middle-class woman or anything, but because he then kind of trashed her good name, she's like, okay. So she just kind of has to do her own thing.
So
she exists outside of society.
She's enjoying having a Christmas where there are other people around. She's very lonely.
Mm.
Isaac's joined the Navy when he was like 14 and he's in his, mid-20s now? So he's sort of settling back into...
He wants to find a wife.
...landlubber society. He wants to get married. She does want to marry again someday, but she's quite burned by the experience of her former husband. She's old, as in she's in her mid-30s.
She's in her, like, early to mid-30s, guys.
So old. Oh, like, life's pretty much over. So clearly attraction happens.
And the important
obstacles
thing is
are to be overcome.
The big thing is that, again, this happens very early in the novella, the kind of key, I guess...
Obstacle?
Yeah, it is kind of the obstacle, but also it's the key kind of, I guess, point of difference for this novel, is that Isaac, because he joined the Navy as younger than 14, they were really young, he joined as a very, very, very young boy. He has not spent much of his life at all around women at all.
He's very inexperienced.
And so he finds he wants to court women. He wants to get married. He wants to do that. But he's now reached an age and he is an absolute charmer and he's very handsome. So he gives off this air of being quite experienced.
He's got no idea what he's doing.
But he's got no idea what he's doing. And so
he's
reached
like,
this age where he can't really bumble. It's no longer charming for him to bumble his way through as it might be if he were, you know, 17 or 18 at that time. Whereas, so he's like, I might need some help.
A widow who is much more experienced.
Correct. And so it is
Isaac.
A Christmas affair to remember.
Well titled. She does a good title, Mia Vinci, doesn't she? Okay, and since I've done
most of that,
70% of the spoiler free recap.
96 easily.
So generous. It must be Christmas. You get to go first. Kimberly, what
did
you think of
first.
A Christmas Affair to Remember?
Okay, so I would say there were parts of this that I liked and parts of this that I did not like. I thoroughly enjoyed seeing, I know it's not important, and we said you don't have to have gone and read A Wicked Kind of Husband in order to enjoy this book, but I thoroughly enjoyed the little look at Joshua and
being able to sort of see slightly.
I actually really enjoyed watching a part of their little homie life.
It was rewarding.
It was rewarding.
Because I read this pretty quick, having
me
read
too.
It
with I almost read it immediately after. And so that was great. In terms of this book on its own, it felt a little bit rushed for me in places, but at the same time, I'm really glad it was a novella. Mm. It didn't need to be any longer, but I think maybe there were maybe just a couple too many elements in it. But it was one of those things where I really struggled to be like, this is the bit, remove this bit, or this is the element or plot point, remove that. It was just that it felt a little bit crammed and a little bit rushed, but there definitely wasn't enough in it for it to be longer. And I didn't want to spend any more time with the characters than I spent with them.
It occupied the correct amount of time.
Yes. I thought it was a really interesting change for him to be the really inexperienced, you know, person, particularly like in terms of sex and stuff, and for her to be the teacher. That was, don't think I've ever read, certainly not a Regency book, but I don't think I've ever read a romance novel where that was the case.
We have. I was reading, it was an Eloisa James novel called Once Upon a Tower.
Did I read that?
Yeah, it was like a sort of Rapunzel story.
I don't think I read it. No, I definitely
didn't. You read it in 2014. She played the cello.
Oh, I remember the cello. Yeah. I remember the cello, listeners. Yeah, that's right. I remember the cello. So, well, this I have. That's like one other that I've read. God, your memory is like a steel trap. So that was
except surprising. For the actual things that happened.
Yeah,
in the novel.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
Except for like on like page six, where like an absolute horrible, horrific thing happens, and you're like. Glanced over it. Anyway, so yes, I thought that was a really interesting kind of change. It was good. I was like, oh, this is refreshing. I found the sex scenes quite graphic, but then I am such a prude. I know that about me. I admit that about myself. This is not me.
But
it's not a slight on anyone else.
Can I just say that they didn't have love banter, though?
Oh, there was no love banter. So that's okay.
That's a reference to some Sarah McLean novels.
Yeah.
No,
there was no love banter. So I am okay with lack of love banter. But yes, they were quite, I guess because it was an affair. So it was supposed to be raunchy. It wasn't, it didn't start it doesn't start from a place of like, I love you, let's be in love. So the description of obviously what comes next also is more kind of raw and lusty than other books that we've potentially read. So yes, I remember reading it. I was like, oh, it's quite graphic.
But in a novella as well, because often a novella is just like.
Yes, you get like a little bit of kissy kiss and it's over. This is not that. And I think also because it's a novella, I wasn't quite ready. I hadn't been given enough time.
Yeah, you read this before. This is
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's happening. Oh, we're there. Oh, God. Okay. Sorry. Hilarious. I feel like this says far more about me than Mia Vinci, but I'm okay with it. And look, at the end of the day, I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. I liked him. I liked her. I believed it.
That's pretty good in a novella.
It is. I believed that they would have a happily ever after. I felt like there was some really lovely, you know, plot points and moving forward and blah, blah, blah. I just don't think I'll ever read it again. And I don't think I will remember having read it. I think 5 years from now, potentially, we'll record a podcast episode and I'll be like, I've never read a romance novel where the woman's been the more experienced. And you'll be like, actually,
you've read two. And these are the dates. And she was a herbalist. She made potions.
Yeah, the herbalist, yeah. I remember. So, yes, I think for me, I just don't think that they were interesting enough for me to ever want to read it again.
Huh, okay.
Anyway. So I don't know. I mean, have a go. I don't.
It wasn't bad. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't not recommend it, but it literally made me want to go back and read A Wicked Kind of Husband again, although I'd only read that like very recently. So I think it was like, yeah, it was like dipping a toe in a world that I was like, yes, I really like this world that Mia Vinci is creating. But it just wasn't, I felt like that's how novellas in this context often are. You feel like you're just kind of moving away from like the main protagonists to find out more about some little side characters.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
It's exactly what it is. And I was like, I Thank you. And you guys are cute, but I'd like to get back to the main story now. Is that okay? Like, that's... thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You were adorable. I loved it. Very raunchy, but that's fine. That's your thing.
You really like the totally standalone novella.
Yes, I do.
I think that's what I take away from, if you've been an avid listener of our Christmas novella reviews and over any of our novella reviews.
Over the last three episodes, what an avid listener.
Over the last 3 years, you would have worked out that this is the theme of Kimberly's.
It's true.
Okay.
So yes, by all means, read it. It was fine. It was over quickly. It was fine. That's how I feel.
Great. Me?
Go.
I thought it was more than fine.
Woohoo!
And
it was raunchy. Because it was raunchy and they didn't make you wait too long before you got there.
I will read it again, but I will read it on the journey through the Long Hope Abbey novels.
Yeah, right.
So as part of when I reread those.
See, I think I'll skip it. I don't think I'll ever bother reading it again. So,
well, because I'll be like, oh, Isaac, it'll remind me. I'll go and I'll read his story. And it will probably be something that, because I normally seem to like starting to read romance novels in about the middle of the year. So it'll hit at Christmas time. I thought there was a lot of detail for a novella.
Oh, their characters are so beautifully created.
The characters were really fleshed out.
And you were so right in terms of saying, like, so the Isaac that you see in this novella, you don't meet him at all really in A Wicked Kind of Husband. Like, you see glimpses.
But
he's also a different person, which is why like, I think this is set many years later. Like, we have the Isaac we meet in The Wicked Kind of Husband.
I think we're 2 years on. That's what it feels like, about 2 years
it's
on.
It's definitely, like, he's definitely settled. He's got other things. Yeah. So my point is that although it is a novella that benefits from being a part of an established world that had a whole book for it, the novella itself creates those characters independently of any other story. Yeah. So that is amazing author, like, what she has done.
Mia Vinci is an excellent writer.
And as a character writer as well, she's phenomenal.
Because I felt that this story, it felt like a full story emotionally.
Absolutely it did, which is why I think I felt part of it felt rushed, because I felt like we went on
A full proper
journey.
Just in less pages.
But just, in a shorter
In a less of amount
time.
Of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, well, see, that's sort of what I liked about it, was it was like a whole romance novel.
But it was a very short,
only
you didn't
took
have to
me
spend,
an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believed them all.
Oh,
and
me too,
the
yeah.
obstacles and the characters and the situations were plausible within the scope of the season and the length of the book. And as we've learned, that's a really hard task, but
it
she
is
did a really
hard.
Good job. I did like both of them. Yep. I thought that...
And their motivations and
their, like, backstories.
Was really good.
Why they behave the way that they did, I rolled with.
Made perfect sense, I thought.
Turn the page. When it ended, I was like, good story. No, I can't actually remember my specific thought. But when it ended, I was quite content.
I turned the pages and then I got to the end
and I was like, fantastic.
And I've read it.
Closed. That's what I felt at the
end. If you would like to feel like that, read this book.
It was like a good page turner, and I was really satisfied at the end of it. So right. I think it was more than fine. Not my favorite.
Yeah,
of
fair.
The Christmas novellas that we've ever read, but really strong one.
And agreed. I think it's strong.
It's really strong, and I will, unlike you, I will reread it again in my Long Hope Abbey journey. But then I also, all the things that you said about the approaches to the characters, I also completely agree with.
Yeah. I think I, weirdly, have such high expectations for a novella. Do you know what it is? It's because we've read a couple that are perfect. So I'm like, why would I read another? I'll just reread that novella. I don't need to find a new series. I'll just rewatch Parks and Rec. Like, why would I need a new series? I'll just watch that. It's a
but
good one.
But here's the thing. You would never have found some of those if we hadn't continued on the novella quest.
No, I agree with you. No, I'm not saying I don't want to read novellas every Christmas, brand new ones that we've never read before.
But
I want that.
You're
but in terms
here.
Of, like, what I go back to.
Sometimes what you get is
that. Yeah, but what I'm going to go back to and read again, I'm only going to go back and read those excellent A-plus novellas. I'm not going to go back and read, like, a B-minus novella.
You're going to have to listen to the podcast so you remember which ones you gave an A-plus.
No, I don't have to listen to the podcast. That's why I befriended you. I just have to be like, what's my favorite Christmas novella? And you'll be like, Christmas Cuckoo. And I'm like, thank you. No, it wasn't this one. It's one where, like, she shoots him and he thinks he's a highwayman or something. And you're like, Which one is that?
That's The Christmas Bride.
Yay!
It's Hernán Gracie.
We should play a trivia game. People go back and listen and they can email in really obscure references.
Oh, yes,
you have
actually.
You have to guess what title it is.
Okay.
From, like, people's
I'm
really
up for
obscure,
that.
Cryptic.
Great. New Year's trivia. That's a challenge to our listeners. All right. On that note, treasure from me. Semi-treasure
from me. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And have a very Merry Christmas wherever you are and whatever you are doing. And
if you get an hour to yourself, read a novella.
Absolutely. Or start a book if you're like, novellas aren't your bag. It's totally fine. We don't mind. But either way, join us again next week. We'll bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations. And until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.